Welcome to the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Today is a bit of a special show because it doesn't actually have any voice notes. That's because I went along to the SSE or Tristy League of Ireland launch held at Vicar Street. Coming up, we've got Cork City FC's Greg Bulger. We've got Sligo Rovers manager John Russell. We've got Bo's Jordan Flores. We're also joined by Shell's new captain, Mark Coyle. Wexford FC's Ethan Boyle. Waterford manager, Keith Long. Galway United's Conor McCormack. And Derry City's Rory Higgins. We'll also chat with Shelburne's Pearl Slattery. Now, if we don't get to your club, there was a few clubs and representatives of clubs I didn't get to chat to because there was just so many people there. Don't worry, you're covered by the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland podcast. Luke Jordan, Tom O'Connor and MacDara Ferris took a big, deep dive into the season ahead, and that's available right now from wherever you get your podcasts. And also, of course, throughout the course of the season, we will get to every club, and I have to say I'm really looking forward to it. Now, if you're listening to this after the President's Cup, it doesn't really matter because the next interview is still very relevant. It's Shamrock Rovers defender Lee Grace, and I hope this question makes sense to you. It did to him anyway. He knew exactly the point I was trying to make. I asked him if the motivation for Shamrock Rovers is to win five in a row, or is it just to win the title?
To win another title, and then everything off the back of that is great because we'd be the first team ever to do five in a row, but our motivation is just to win the title, and obviously it's great then that it would be five in a row, but we're not going to put any extra added pressure on ourselves. We're just going to treat it as another league, and hopefully we can do it.
Is it going to be hard to block it out, or will you try and block it out? Will you just accept people are going to talk about this?
Yeah, look, we have to accept that there's going to be noise about it because it is such a big thing. Same as last year with the four in a row. Like, all of us players understood how big it was for the club, the fans, ourselves, to create history. But you do try to put it at the back of your mind and not talk about it. We don't talk about it, to be fair, but I'm sure lads do think about it. But just put it at the back of your mind and concentrate on your game and yeah, go from there.
Now, you're a tip man, so you won't mind me bringing up the fact that Tip stopped Kilkenny doing a five in a row, Kerry were stopped doing a five in a row, but Dublin did a six in a row in football. So will you have a chat with some of those lads? Can you draw anything from them, or is it completely irrelevant because it's a different sport, different circumstances?
Yeah, look, obviously they're all big things and they're all stopped, but I think it is a bit.
Well, Dublin weren't. That's the point.
Sorry. Yeah, no. Yeah, look, you can draw inspiration from them, I suppose. That it can be done. Yeah. I know there was a few times that, as you said already, that lads were stopped to do five in a row, but hopefully that won't be the plan for us. As I said, we can only concentrate on ourselves. Obviously, the league is a lot stronger, I think, this year. There's big teams ever, big clubs ever, so it won't be easy, but it's the challenge we're looking forward to.
Do you think maybe people take for granted how much of a challenge there is out there and how hard it actually is to win a league?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, we've obviously done four in a row and people probably just look at us and think it's easy, but it's not. Like, we work hard for it. I'm sure every other team is working hard to try to get there as well, so it's definitely not easy. It might look good from the outside, but it's certainly not, and this year will be no different, I'm sure. It's going to be very, very hard, but yeah, look, I think if we can look after ourselves, we'll hopefully be all right.
Talk to me about your journey from Shane Keegan spotting you to where you are now.
So I was in the army when I got the call off Shane. And obviously joined Shane at Wexford, won the league there. And he brought me to Galway. And unfortunately, we got relegated with Wexford the following year. And then we went off to Galway, me and Shane. And obviously the call came from Shamrock Rovers then in July 2017. And it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down, and looking how things went now, I'm glad I didn't. But yeah, I had great times with Shane, and I've a lot to thank Shane for, and obviously now my time at Rovers has been unbelievable as well. So yeah, it's not been too bad.
And I mean this in a complimentary sense, but how come you weren't spotted before that? Because generally players are spotted and they're brought in, whereas you went an unusual path.
To be fair, growing up all through the years, I didn't get a growth spurt till I was probably 16, 17, so I was always going to the trials down in Waterford and stuff, and I was told I was too small and stuff, but I think the game is actually changing now, whereas if you go for trials as a small player these days, I don't think it's as much of a disadvantage as it used to be. I think back then it was just the bigger you are, the more teams you made. So yeah, that was the reason I wasn't getting picked, and then I just said, right, that's the end of that dream, and I just went into the army and started playing ball with them and went to European Championships, and that's how Shane got word of me, and it kind of kicked off from there. Yeah.
It seems ridiculous. Big enough for the army, but not big enough for football.
Yeah.
How hard were those rejections, or did you take it in your stride?
I know, look, they were very hard. I think it was the Kennedy Cup team. One of my best mates made a team that we both went for the trials for. He made the team, I didn't, and my father broke the news to me. There was a few tears shed, but I think it's made me the person I am today. It made me work harder. and get to where I got to today with hard work behind me and them rejections, just kind of proving people wrong that didn't pick me back then.
Do you think that you wouldn't be the player you are if it wasn't for the Army? Maybe the discipline you learned there, I'm not suggesting you were ever ill-disciplined, but a big part of Army life, I imagine, is discipline, the physical work you would have done, just the growth as a person you have to go through when you're in the Army. And
100%, I think. I learned a lot from the Army. I've always been asked this question. I never have a bad thing to say about the Army. Yeah. I know I only had 3.5 years in it, but as you said, I learned a lot, discipline and obviously the training. I was fit and I took a lot from the Army, and if it wasn't for the Army, I wouldn't have been spotted by Shane. So I have a lot to thank the Army for as well.
Is your advice to players who maybe have ambitions but aren't quite getting where they want, keep at it, stay at it, but keep enjoying it as well? Because I imagine you would have completely walked away if you weren't still enjoying football, hard as the rejections were.
Exactly. I always say to any young fellas I'm talking to, if you're not making teams now just because you're on the younger teams, it doesn't mean the dream is over to play at a professional level. And I just tell them kind of my story then and tell them, as you said, to keep enjoying it, because if you lose enjoyment, then there's no point anyway. I just tell them to keep going, and if they're good enough and they work hard enough, their chance will come.
And what about yourself this season? Alan has gone after a long time. What a career he's had. You'll be playing in front of not a new goalkeeper. He's obviously been at the club and played a lot of games, but do you still have to establish a relationship between that defensive trio, the back three or back four or back five or whatever you're going to play, and the goalkeeper? Does that need to kind of be worked on?
100%. Look, obviously Leon's at the club now. I think Leon came in 2019, so he's here a while and he knows the score, he knows all the players. Obviously everyone had a great relationship with Alan and you knew what you were getting with Alan, but to be fair to Leon, when Alan got injured last year, he came in for 8 or 9 games and he was faultless, he was brilliant, and he was kind of, he was disappointed to be left out of the team then when Alan got back, but he took it in his stride and he's going to get his chance this year, and if he just does what he does last year, he'll be fine.
Because I've never played at any level, this might seem like a silly question, I hope it's not, but if it is, tell me. It wouldn't be the first time a tip man has told me I'm silly. But the South Stand is now complete. It'll be up and running for the President's Cup. It'll be packed, no doubt, this season. Is it different playing as a defender in front of a packed stand? Because at the moment, when you're down at the north end, you've got, you know, that raucous support behind you. Then you're at the other end, and it's still a loud stadium, but you don't have it coming from behind you. Will it make any difference? Does it make any difference?
It's slightly different, you could say. Yeah, it's a good question, because obviously when you're... For us anyway, actually playing into the South Stand, it's like the ball gets drawn into it when we're in Tala. And now with the fans the other way, hopefully it'll get drawn in that way when we're playing that way as well. It's great to have the atmosphere coming from all angles. Tala's going to be an unbelievable place to play now when that's filled out, and it's going to be a 10,000 seater stadium. It's going to be a special place. It already is, but with that extra stand, it's going to be extra special.
And that must be a big part of the draw to Shamrock Rovers, the fact that you're playing at a really great venue. It feels like playing at a proper football club. Your facilities are excellent. I'm sure that, you know, that's such a huge part of being a Shamrock Rovers player, and maybe that gets a few extra percent out of players.
Absolutely. I always say, when I was playing with Wexford and Galway, I used to love coming to Tala and playing, because it feels, you know, proper football and stadium, proper professional. The grass is always A1 and the atmosphere is always brilliant. So, yeah, it gives you an extra kick. It makes you feel like a proper footballer, and, yeah, it's the best place to play in the country, I think.
Lee, the very best. I can't claim you at all. You're very much from the tip side of Carrick, and sure you are.
I'm tip side of Carrick,
okay.
And sure. Yeah,
no. Such a pity. Lee Grace, thanks for joining us here at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch. You've been speaking to the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
This is the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and we're still at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch in Vicar Street, and I'm joined by Shelburne captain Mark Coyle. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. Excited for the season to start now, and this sort of signifies the start of it, so we're looking forward to the start.
We'll talk football in a second, but have you ever been to Vicar Street before? Are you a music fan?
I would be a music fan, but I think I've only been to one gig here, so I'm not really used to the venue. But it's nice to be here and excited.
Who was playing?
I think it was Jamie Webster, you call him. He's sort of a small time singer.
I remember listening to you, I think it was on the LOI Central podcast with Dan and Johnny. And at the time you were talking about, you know, making that jump from Finn Harps to Shelburne and not knowing if it was going to work out. But you know what? You said you'd try it anyway. Now you're the captain of Shelburne. So obviously it has worked out. How do you reflect on all of it, that now? Because it's it seems like that was a long time ago, but it wasn't. Just a lot has happened in a short space of time.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I've come a long way, I'd say, since I first signed here. And I don't think I ever envisaged being captain of the club when I first came here. But it's just that I bought into the club, the fans, the people around the club, the culture, the demands of the manager, and that willingness to learn and be a part of the team. I think that's what sort of got me here, and I don't think I'll change or anything like that, and just try to keep going in the right direction.
How glad were you that the manager stayed and the club themselves seemed to move heaven and earth to make that happen?
Oh, delighted. Every one of the players was delighted. I'd say the fans felt the same. I think under her guidance, we've improved massively under his guidance. And I think we'll do the same this year again.
Where have you improved? Where has it kind of developed?
I think individually and collectively as a team. You can see the individually players improving. Collectively, then you can see the structure, how we play. It's all improved over the last 2 years he's been in charge. But he's also brought in quality every year and kept the core group of players there. And that all makes a big difference. And as long as the players buy into the demands and the culture of the club, we'll keep going in the right direction.
And what about yourself? Because when you signed, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you would have been seen as maybe a very busy midfielder, a good guy to win the ball back. And those are all the things that Harps team needed at that time, whereas now you can still do that, but I think has your ball playing ability improved?
Oh yeah, massively. There's no doubt about it. I don't think if it didn't improve, I wouldn't be here. The manager expects improvement, and you to look after the ball, that's one of his number one priorities. Yeah, he wants you to win the ball back and be busy in the middle of the park and win your tackles and things like that, but on the ball is the most important. So I knew when I came here that was probably one of the biggest things I had to improve, and I think it's down to his coaching, my willingness to learn, to take on criticism and want to improve is what got me there.
Is that the hardest part of being a footballer, taking criticism? I say criticism. What I mean is constructive criticism, as in to work, you know, to make you improve and make you the player you are.
I think it's one of the things that you have to learn how to deal with and look at it as a positive thing. I'd say that's probably the toughest part of it. But once you get there, it's sort of, you see it that way, it's relatively easy. I think the hardest thing is meeting the demands every day and being that, keeping your standards high every day. That's probably the toughest part, is being relentless every day.
For Shelburne, you've European football to look forward to this season. And I know you're aware of the club's history and some of the great European voyages they've been on in the past. First of all, tell me about what it meant to actually achieve something like that, getting there. And secondly, how much are you looking forward to it?
Oh yeah, it was huge for the club, huge for us as a group of players, huge for the manager too. It shows, as I said, the progression we've made we've only been in the league, Premier League, for 2 years now since we came up. So it shows that we're going in the right direction. It was huge for the fans too. We're delighted for them after a tough period of time that they had to go through. So good to give them something to celebrate. And then when we're looking forward to it, yeah, we're looking forward to it. But I would say at the same time, we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. I know that's, people don't want to hear that, but that's the truth, that's the reality of it. The league's your bread and butter, that's what you want. So we're focused really on the league, and when Europe comes, yeah, of course we'll be extremely excited for it and buzzing to get there, and nervous as well, because it's probably a lot of our first time in Europe. But that's what I'd say, they managed done well, bringing in experience through winners and people who've played in Europe, so that'll stand us in good stead when it comes around.
And what about life in Dublin? Have you adapted to it? Because it can be tough when you're a country lad who moves here.
Yeah, it definitely took me a small period of time to adjust, but I'd say a big factor is that we do have a close-knit group here, and we do a lot of stuff together as a group. The players here, and I live with a few of the boys as well, so that obviously helps. But yeah, I'd say I'm well accustomed to it now, and I probably go home a lot less than I used to. I'd say my mother would rather I came home a bit more, but look, I love it down here, and I'm really enjoying my football and enjoying my time here, and long may that continue.
Listen, Mark, the very best of luck for the season ahead. Mark Coyle of Shelburne, the Shelburne captain, congratulations on getting that. It's a big role, and when I see who you're replacing, that makes it, I suppose, a compliment and maybe a challenge and maybe a bit daunting.
Oh, definitely. Look, there's no two ways about it, that Lukey was one of the best captains of boys, definitely the best captain I've ever played under. The gaffer said he's the best captain that he's ever seen, so that speaks volumes to what Lukey's character was, and testament to him, and I back that. But for me now, it's probably looking at, you don't look to replace him or fill his boots, because I don't think that's possible. It's just about being yourself and continuing to be myself and doing what I can do.
Mark, the very best of luck.
Thanks very much.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. We're at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch in Vicar Street. To get away from the maddening crowd, I've kind of gone up the stairs, so there's a wee bit of an echo. Keith Long, I hope that's okay. Keith Long, of course, the Waterford manager. How are you?
All good, yeah. Interesting venue for the league launch today. So, yeah, pre-season now is near the end. I'm looking forward to the season start.
Are you a music fan? Had you ever been here before?
Yeah, I'm a big music fan, and yes, I think I've socialised a few times in this venue previously. So that's, yeah, it's a great venue, and yeah, been at many concerts here.
Who's your favourite? We'll talk football eventually, don't worry.
Well, listen, Damien Dempsey, I've been a perennial visitor here to watch Damien at a number of concerts so, over the years, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk football now. How has pre-season preparation gone? Preparing, of course, for the Premier Division.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Pre-season is, it's false in lots of different ways. Obviously, it serves a purpose. We've got to get players back, get them physically fit, get them motivated, excited, challenged, you know, for the season ahead. And, you know, it's been a tough 6 weeks in preparation for, you know, a big task, a big challenge coming back into the Premier Division. So, but it's one that we're all excited for at the club. It's one that the players are really excited for to challenge and test themselves at a better level. And we want to obviously generate that sort of excitement around the locality, around the club. I think season tickets have been, you know, going selling really well. I think there's lots of interest around football up and down the country, and Waterford is no different in that sense. So we're excited to have Premier Division back at the RSC next season, and we know it's a big challenge, but it's one that we're excited for and looking forward to.
It's been a roller coaster of a journey for Waterford FC fans, and last season at the playoff final, it was a mix of relief and joy when that full-time whistle went against Cork City. What was your sense of it and I suppose the celebrations afterwards, because they'd been through so much hurt over the years?
Yeah, I think in the previous, somebody told me that it was 10 playoffs that they'd been involved in the club and have lost, you know, so it was, we couldn't burden last year's group with that sense of sort of, you know, failure. We wanted to attack the game. I think we did that quite well, and we're deserved winners to come through the promotion relegation game. So I think it gave us a flavour as to how big the club can be when you look at the travelling support and what it meant to them. And that's what we want. We'll need that, you know, that support base this year at home. It's a completely different dynamic going into the Premier Division. The atmosphere in the stadium at home and away, you know, packed houses, away support in the RSC, which we didn't have in the First Division last year. So small numbers travel away in the First Division. So we're all looking forward to that. It creates a new dynamic, like I say, and it's a big, big challenge for us.
Do you have to change your approach, tactics and style and all that for the Premier Division compared to what you would have done in the First Division? Because I suppose in the First Division, you'd have been able to dominate games and dominate possession. That might not necessarily be the case in the Premier Division. Or maybe I'm talking rubbish there.
Well, listen, there's no doubt we're coming up against a higher level of opposition, a higher calibre of player, better organised teams. And tactically, yeah, we'll have to look, and there's going to be games where we're going to be out of possession quite a bit, you would imagine. But I do think we've got some half-decent players that can put their foot in the ball and play and control the tempo of the games at times. So we're not without a threat ourselves. But we've got to be pragmatic. We've got to understand that we're coming up a division, and the standard is gulf between the quantum. The standard is quantum between both divisions, and we've tried to strengthen the squad in the off season, bring new faces in, but it's going to be a massive challenge. But it's a real opportunity for us as well. So you know that's what it in front of the players. That's what's in front of the staff this year. We've got to all raise our game and put a side out on the pitch that reflects the club, reflects our identity within the town, and we want to be competitive in every game that we play.
Is this an exciting or a scary time for a manager? Because, you know, you go out, you get your players and you prepare them, but until it gets to kick off, maybe you're not sure how individual players will react or how your game plan will come together. Is it kind of a scary time wondering about that?
I think most managers will find themselves in a similar position at this time of the year. There's a little bit of unknown. Pre-season is a phony war. It's a little bit false. So you don't know what you're kind of getting going into the season, particularly when you've got an unstable squad. And what do I mean by that is obviously we've had to replace players, bring players in. How quickly can players hit the ground running, transition into that environment? All those type of things are unknown. So we've been quite consistent in our message, in our approach to try and work with the players and keep the game kind of simple for them in that sense. So we'll try and give them as much information as we possibly can, try and get them as organised as we possibly can. And, you know, if there's any detail left out, well, that will be on us as manager, us as coaches. And, it's a great challenge. You know, we're not afraid of it. We're not daunted by it. You know, it's where we want to be as a football club. And like I said to you earlier, we want to be competitive. We want to be, in the frame when it comes to important games, big games. And, you know, it's a real exciting challenge for us all.
How does the multi-club model, the tie-in with Fleetwood, affect you day to day? Or does it have anything to do with what you're doing in your job? Because it's the way football is going, but it's a relatively new thing.
I suppose, listen, Fleetwood, we're owned by Fleetwood Town, and they've been very helpful across lots of different areas. Obviously, they know the industry and the game in England. You know, they know all levels of the game, you know, Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two, all the pyramids. So they have lots of contacts that you can tap into. You know, they've got good structures at the football club, between recruitment, you know, their knowledge base, all that type of stuff. So it's good for me from that point of view to tap into that knowledge. Equally so, they hired me as a manager to come in with the knowledge of Irish football, League of Ireland football, an in-depth knowledge of that. And so, you know, the task last year was obviously to get promotion. We did that. And this year is to be competitive as best we possibly can in the Premier Division. We know that's going to be a big ask. We know we're stepping up in the huge gulf in class between the First Division and the Premier Division. And that's, I say that with the greatest respect to the First Division. But there is a gulf. And, you know, working with Fleetwood, working with some of the people at the football club, there's no doubt it's helped us and assisted us in some cases. And, you know, we're very much a work in progress. I still believe we've got to strengthen the squad. I'd like to strengthen in certain areas of the team. And we've got a window that's open up until the 20th of February. So we'll be looking to do some business across the squad between now and the start of the season and between now and the end of the window. So Fleetwood will be central to that, I would imagine, you know, and we'll continue to work and operate in that fashion. I'm a very collaborative type of person. You know, I'm very, very active in terms of recruitment, very active in terms of on the ground and you know, looking at players and, you know, listening to people when they recommend players, all that type of stuff. So no different than any other manager in this league, because when you're trying to regenerate a squad year on year on year, you know, all managers have to make sure that their ability to watch, listen, distinguish between some of the noise that you get from agents and players, and you know, try and make the best decisions for football clubs for your football club in terms of recruitment.
Keith, the very best of luck for the season ahead. We've been chatting with Keith Long, Waterford manager, ahead of the new SSE Airtricity League of Ireland season. The launch is being held here in Vicar Street. Keith, thanks for joining us on the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast.
Thanks, Oisín.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. We are at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch, and Jordan Flores of Bohemians has joined me. Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Do you like pre-season? Do you not like pre-season? Because different players feel differently about it.
I used to not like it, but now it's kind of just, you just get yourself through. I think it's my 12th or 13th pre-season now, so it's just one of those. You get it done and look forward to the season.
Some of your pre-seasons would have been done in the summertime in England, whereas here it's done in the bleak midwinter and after Christmas, and you maybe have to behave yourself over Christmas. Do you like that or do you not like that?
It makes no difference, to be fair. I'd say in the summer it might be a little bit harder because it's boiling hot, but then you're waking up in the morning over here and it's dark and you have to go and do some running. But no, either way, I'm not too fussed.
You must be looking forward to just getting going and playing football again.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, it's a long a long off season. Well, it feels like it anyway. So yeah, buzzing to just get back going.
Was it frustrating the way last season ended, in the sense that it was almost a very good season, if that statement makes sense?
Yeah, it was frustrating. Disappointing, really, because we set our targets for Europe, and then obviously with the cup final as well, and we didn't meet our targets. So whether we was close or not, it was a disappointing season, which we'll take into this season, and hopefully we'll put it right.
Did it take a while to get over that cup final?
Yeah. Probably still not over it now. That's why we want the season to get going, so we can get into the games and the swing of things, and yeah, hopefully have a successful season.
That was only one match, so I suppose it would be wrong maybe to concentrate on just that. In the league, you were nearly victims of your good start, that you started so well that the second half didn't go as well, and you were kind of being judged off the first half of the season. How do you reflect on that as a team and with the management and all that?
Well, we reflected on what went wrong. We were letting in sloppy goals. I feel we was quite dominant in a lot of the games last season. So it's something we've talked about in pre-season, something we've looked on and trained towards. So hopefully we'll put all of that right next season.
Look, the consensus, whether it's right or wrong, is that Bulls haven't signed enough players. But you're in there working every day. Is there a good squad put together? Is there, are you ready for the season?
Yeah, we're ready. I think the most important thing is we kept a good core of the squad. Okay. I've been at Bulls 3 years now, and every single year it's been kind of a different team. But this season we've got kind of that good core. The players who have come in are quality. They're going to be another couple added to the squad. But yeah, I feel we're ready to go.
Yeah, and that's a good thing as well, to have that core. And maybe people don't realise that actually there was a decent enough core to begin with.
Yeah, that's it. And then all the lads who have stayed know what the manager's all about. We don't have to get used to each other. We're all pretty close. We're a close-knit squad, which helps when new people come in as well, because we're a very, very welcoming squad. So, yeah, like I said, we're fully ready to go for the season.
And is it the advice, is the ask of the fans, look, turn up, get behind us. If things don't go our way, then we can understand frustration. But, give us a chance from the start of the season.
Yeah, 100%. I think the good thing is we're at home in the first game. So hopefully we'll put on a good performance, get a win in that, and get them all on side. But yeah, we just want them to come and support the lads. We're working hard day in, day out, and we're fully ready to go to give them hopefully a successful season.
What about yourself? Are you practicing the shots? You love a shot, don't you? You've some strike of a ball. It's magnificent to watch.
Yeah, well, it's the free kick side of things, set pieces and all that is something I want to keep improving on, helping the team. Even from corners last season, I don't think we scored enough, so it's something I'll be looking to improve on. We brought in good quality in that department as well, with Dale Rooney coming in, so yeah, I'm sure we'll push each other on that side of things.
Yeah, that is quality. Listen, best of luck for the season. Thanks for speaking to us here at the launch.
Cheers, thank you.
We're here at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch in Vicar Street. I've managed to corner Rory Higgins in a tight enough corner, an echoey enough corner, but it's noisy everywhere else as well. Rory, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Oisin, yourself?
Good. Are you looking forward to the new season?
I am. There's always a lot of anticipation around this time of the year, and you certainly can't replicate what we're going to face next Friday in pre-season games, that sort of intensity and that fire in your belly, that anxiety that you feel in your belly. But really looking forward to it, and a difficult opening fixture.
I know what a manager is looking for during the season, wins. What are you looking for during pre-season? Because even if you get wins, they're only friendly, so maybe you're looking at other things as well.
You're looking at getting people as fit as possible. You're looking at trying to remain injury-free, and those are the most important things. And obviously trying to form a way of playing and stuff like that as well.
You've made some very good signings. Patrick Hooban, I think, stands out. Was he the missing piece, a striker who can get you goals, a striker who's strong, can hold the ball up? You've got Colin Whelan coming back. That's practically a new signing. So you must be feeling very confident about getting the goals you need this season.
Well, four first-team players have left the club and two have come in, so our squad isn't any bigger, but I feel the balance of it now is really good. And a lot of facets of our play last year were strong. We had the best defensive record. We controlled a decent number of matches and created opportunities. We just weren't clinical and ruthless enough, and it was I didn't feel it was rocket science, really. We needed to add more goals to the group.
It's not just about signing him and throwing him in, though. Do you have to kind of build a team around them as well?
Of course. But the beauty about it is the players that we've brought in have already played with a lot of players that we have. So it's probably an easier settling in period. So hopefully we can see the fruits of that early in the season.
Is it a title challenge or nothing for you this season? It might seem like a harsh question, but you know yourself, it's being said.
Aye, of course. We're not going to shy away from the fact there's definitely two or three others who will feel the same as us. And I had to remind myself the other day, I was speaking to, I'm not even a manager 3 years yet, and I'm still an extremely inexperienced manager. We took over a club less than 3 years ago who were in an extremely difficult position, and we've had a couple of second place finishes and won a cup and had a good European run, so we're delighted with the progress, to be honest. But you're right, the next step is to try and do something that is easier said than done, by the way, and try and leapfrog an exceptional team who are serial winners, and that's no mean feat, but we'll do everything. And I'm sure there's two or three other clubs that will feel that they can do the same.
You made a very great, very good point there. I sounded like Trump. Very great. Very good point there. Look at Rovers. Look how long it took them to build as well. So you've got a good, solid base of that team together now for that 3 years. So you must be confident that it is building and kind of generating towards that maybe final push.
Aye, well, it's 2 years, really. I took over 6-7 games in the season before, and I inherited a squad. So it's 2 years really that I've had my own team, going into our third year now, so we're excited. We've players who have been there and done it, we've also players who are emerging and becoming leaders as well, so we're happy with the profile of our squad and where it's at. And listen, we haven't won the league in God knows how long, but as I said, it's not just a case of it's an extremely difficult thing to do, but why not? Let's have a go at it.
Some bad news, Diallo picked up an injury. How long will he be out for, do you reckon, and how big a blow is it to not have him at the start of the season? Because we know what he can do when he's out there.
He's been with us now for the guts 18 months or a bit more, actually, and he's barely had an injury. He's missed a couple of games through suspension, but he's barely had an injury, and I don't think he's had an injury at all. It was a poor tackle in a pre-season game, and now we're going to be without his services for possibly 8 to 10 weeks. So it's disappointing. He's been very, very good for us, very consistent, but we are strong in that department, and we won't rush him back. We'll make sure that he gets the best care possible, but we know we have extremely good options in that department.
And as we were saying earlier on, extremely good options up front. Do you see it as Hooban, Whelan and the two playing off each other, maybe Hooban dropping deeper if he needs to supply Whelan? I'm essentially asking you your tactics. But you have options, and that's a good thing. You've different ways to get goals if you need it, because if you want, here's me telling a manager what to do. If you want, you can put Hooban close to goal and just lorry it into him. Farmers League stuff.
You're asking me about Colin Whelan and Pat Hooban combination. Obviously, Colley's not going to be fit for a while, so and I can't. And if every manager's being honest, I think they'll tell you that they can't look past the next game. Yeah. So you're asking me about something that might be 4 or 5 months down the line. Okay. But
I didn't realise Colin was still that bad. Okay.
No, listen, I don't really put a number on it. Pressure. Like he's had a lot of difficult times, and it's the second time he's done it. So. Don't quote me on that 4 or 5 month thing,
but it won't be the start of the season.
But all we're focusing on is trying to prepare the players for Drogheda next week, and an extremely difficult fixture. And if you look at Drogheda's record over the last couple of seasons against the sort of top end teams, that they've been a tough nut to crack, and next Friday will be no different.
Rory Higgins, Derry manager, thank you very much for joining us here at the SSE Electricity League of Ireland launch at Vickers Street. Thanks for joining us on the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast.
Thank you, Oisin.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and I'm joined at the SSE Electricity League of Ireland launch here in Vickers Street by Greg Bulger, who's back at Cork City. Greg, how are you?
Yeah, all good. Tough pre-season, but looking forward to the league starting now next week, so happy out.
Before we talk about football, have you ever been here before? Have you ever been to any gigs here?
No, I actually haven't. Actually, I haven't never been here, no. I think I was supposed to go, I think on Christmas, but it was cancelled. But yeah, so first time here.
Okay. How does it feel to be back in Cork City?
Yeah, delighted. Obviously, it was a lot of things needed way up from myself at the end of the year. And there's a package and a deal there for me. And obviously, I love my time at Cork. The last time I was there, obviously, the club's in a different place than it was the last time I was there. But chance to get the club back to the Premier Divisions, to be with a club to be down in the First Division, but it is what it is, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Cards on the table and admitting my bias, I'm a Cork City fan, so I'm going to think it's still a big club, but you mentioned there that when you were there the last time it was in a very different place, winning the title, winning the cups, having good runs in Europe. Now it's in the First Division, but does it still feel like a big club?
Yeah, look, it's mad to think. I just for me, even just being in the last, what, 3-4 weeks pre-season, it's just I'm back at Cork City, you know. The club is massive, you know, it's one of the biggest in the country, and like I said, it's not where it wants to be, and Tim and the staff are trying to put something together that we can look beyond next year. But look, first things first, we need to get up, and look, you set your stall out every year, it doesn't matter what division you're in, what team you're in, the aim is to try and win the league, so... And that's the way it should be, that's my thinking anyway. But so our aim is to win the league, try and get the club back to the Premier.
Is there an optimism? Is there a positivity around the place?
Yeah, look, I don't know what went on last year in terms of obviously the team getting relegated. I was kind of in my own little battle when I was playing with Sligo and stuff like that. So look, I'm just coming in fresh this year. There's a lot of new players, obviously new management and stuff like that. So it's a case where, look, we're looking forward to the season. Our pre-season's gone well. And nothing but positivity. And another way Tim wants to play, he wants his players to go out and express themselves. So it's a case where, yeah, we're all looking forward to it. Last year was last year. No point in looking backwards. We're looking forward, and hopefully we can have a good year.
That in itself is a statement, isn't it? Getting someone like Tim Clancy, who did a great job at Drogheda, and you know, was doing a good job at St. Pat's, and of course they went on to win a cup with many players that he coached and recruited and put together.
Yeah, no, it is. Look, Tim has plenty of experience managing, playing. Had a great career himself in his own career, and then obviously the management stuff, getting up with Drogheda and then having a great time with Pat. So it's he's coming in and he wants to work with young players, obviously barring himself, but he wants the lads, and there is good players down in Cork, and I think Tim will be good for him. Let them go and express themselves and enjoy it and get better and enjoy it and see how far they can go in their careers, because there is a lot of top talent down in Cork. I only realised it when I came in myself, from like the 16s, 17s and 19s. So yeah, it's exciting, and one I'm looking forward to personally. Can't wait to get out, get going on the pitch. The off season is too long in my opinion, but so yeah.
Are you looking forward to being a leader? Is that very much part of your role, given the experience that you bring?
Look, yeah. I'm not going to say yeah or not, like no, but it's just that's who I am. I just want to go out and try and win games. And obviously, if I can help the younger lads in any way, I will. I'm approachable. I'm an open book. Obviously, I've had loads of experiences. Been grateful to have all them experiences over the years. And you always take things off from different managers you played under and different teams you've been involved in, different styles of football. So look, in a way I've kind of seen a good side of all that, and if I can help any of the younger lads in a way, yeah. And the main thing is for me, from try and play as well as I can and be a leader that way, as in through my performances. I'm not one to be shouting and giving out. Well, take that back, maybe I am, but it's a case where I'm trying to lead by my actions more so than nothing else, and trying to just manage the dressing room as best I can. And look, there are a few you need 3 or 4 of them in a dressing room to lead it. It's not just one fella, like, you know. And you see that now around all the teams are 3 or 4 captains as such. So yeah, if I can be one of them, yeah, I will.
Do you have to be careful with some lads? You can probably give them a bollocking. With other lads, you have to put the arm around the shoulder. Do you have to assess who needs what and when?
Yeah, it's a different generation now, isn't it? I've gone through a few generations now, so it's probably a different approach.
It used to be just give everyone a bollocking.
Yeah, them days are kind of gone now, isn't it? And everyone needs a bit of love, don't they? But no, look, you know the characters. You can what's the right thing to say in certain moments and stuff. So look, it's yeah, you give out and you hug them after.
Greg Bulger of Cork City, thanks for joining us at the League of Ireland launch here in Vicar Street.
Cheers.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and we're still at the SSC Airtricity League of Ireland launch at Vicar Street. John Russell, Sligo Rovers manager, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, I've never actually been to this venue before, so yeah, it's a nice place to come and see everyone.
Are you not a music fan, or have you just not been here?
Probably a bit of both, yeah. Music wouldn't be my strongest thing. Wouldn't be a singer or anything like that. But yeah, maybe in the future I need to come back here.
Yeah, I think so. How have pre-season preparations gone?
Yeah, they've gone well. You know, we're less than 2 weeks out to the start of the season, and the key thing for any manager is arriving there with your players fit and healthy. And yeah, we're in a good place. I think this season it's important for us to keep players on the pitch. We'll have a smaller squad, but I'm happy with the business that we've done, and yeah, excited to kick off.
What were you looking for in the close season, and what have you found?
Yeah, looking for young, hungry players. You know, that a profile of player that's early 20s that want to come to Sligo. It's a mad football town. We play a good brand of football, and you want to get players that can play that. They need to have energy, legs. You know this league, it's getting younger and younger, and you need to be able to get around the pitch. And you want players that want to progress and try and get to another level as well, that they don't just want to come to Sligo and see out their careers. So we've recruited well, I feel, and you know, it's up to myself and the staff now to gel the lads quickly. And you know, pre-season's gone well, and hopefully every team will say it, you want to get off to a good start and build that momentum, so hopefully that can be us.
Results wise I don't think last season went the way you wanted it. Have you had to kind of rip it up and start again, or what's your approach to this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't say you rip it up and start again. There's always learnings. You either win or you learn, and we did a lot of blows and knocks last year, but I feel, you know, our pre-season was very good last year. Up until the 1st of May, we were fourth in the league, and we were looking to try and push on, and I think at that point the injuries mounted, and at one stage we had 10 out. No team, no matter what, if you're at the top, Shamrock Rovers, or at the bottom, can sustain that and be winning matches. And then we got to the mid-season point, and you know, we lose Max Mada, we have to sell him, top goal scorer in the league, our goalkeeper had to go to Wrexham, so we got blow after blow. And to be honest, on reflection, I think myself and the staff did a very good job to stabilise it and get ourselves safe at the end, the way things transpired. So you know, I looked at the squad that we had, the players that did well, I've kept the ones I wanted, and I've gone and identified players that I think can play the way I want the team to play. So for me, I'm excited about 2024 now.
When Max went, that was a big blow, and I think everyone understands the business that is football in this country, that it's very hard to keep players if anyone offers any kind of money for them. But have you put systems in place this year that if someone's excelling, you can keep them for at the very least the season? Or are you facing the prospect again this season that if someone's going really well for the first half of the season, you might have to replace them or you might lose them? And is that like managing while waiting for the rug to be pulled under you?
Look, I think that's the nature that we're in this league, in this country. We don't offer long-term contracts or massive wages. This is a platform for young players, and I suppose that's what I'm selling at Sligo. You know, we can't offer the salaries that Shamrock Rovers, Derry, even Bohemians, you know, St. Pat's. So we understand we're developing players. We've sold a hell of a lot the last 18 months. Last season in January, we sold Hayden Keane. You sell Max Madden in the July. You sell your keeper in the July. I'm not stupid to think I'm going to keep the same players for this season. That's just the model at Sligo. My challenge as a manager is to get results with the group I have. And if players move on, that's a reflection on the work that we're doing with them. I think we'll play a good brand this year. I think the players that are with us see it as a good stepping stone, and hopefully we can win a lot of matches this season.
Is it hard to pick out the good pros there? Because you know yourself, fans want the players to be committed. They want them to ideally have a tie to the town and the area. And I know that's not always the case with every club, and Sligo have had some great imports in their time. But is it hard to know if a guy's going to do that for the short time they're there? Because if they're not there long term, the worry would be that, you know, will they commit? Will they throw their body on the line? Will they give it everything for Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, I think they will. Any of the players that we've recruited and that I've spoken to, the big thing when you're, again, they're not coming to Sligo for the finances. It's the whole package. It's a football mad town. It's the you live and breathe it. You go for your haircuts, you go for your coffees. Everyone that you're meeting and that are serving you, they're all fans. They're paying our wages. So the players understand it's a unique club. You know, you talk about Barcelona and that thing of it's more than a club. I feel Sligo is, and we have to tap into that. We are competing against teams of bigger resources, and we have to fuel that and channel it in the right way. And I think the players are coming in, they understand they have to overachieve as an individual and us as a group to compete this year, and they are buying in. And you know, we've signed 8 new players, the group have gelled quite well, and that will build and grow as the season goes on. I think obviously winning matches gives you that confidence and helps with the growth of the team, but I feel that they're buying in, and hopefully we'll have a good season.
You've had derbies before, but what's it like having the neighbours Galway United in the same division? Does it have any material effect on even maybe trying to recruit players, but also just a good local rivalry at that top flight level?
That's brilliant to have Galway back. I'm a Galway man, and you know, seeing them back in the Premier Division is brilliant. It's a huge football city, you know, great resources down there. They've big backing now as well, which is going to be good for the league. We want to be increasing those rivalries all the time, having that Connacht derby and both sets of fans looking forward to those games. And I suppose it's a change as well from us having to come up to Dublin all the time. It's only a short spin down, and you want more regional teams, and Galway have huge potential, same as Sligo. And yeah, we're looking forward to those games kicking off.
John Russell, Sligo Rovers manager, thank you very much for joining us here at the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland launch at Bicker Street. This is the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast. John, very best of luck for the season.
Cheers, thanks Oisín.
This is the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast, and we're joined by Pearl Slattery of Shelburne at the launch of the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland season. Pearl, how are you?
Good. In pre-season at the moment, so that's where all the hard work is happening, but you know, a day like today only makes you to be buzzing for the league starting in a few weeks, and yeah, we can't wait to get going.
Do you like pre-season or do you not like pre-season?
I'm not sure any player really enjoys it, because you know, you can't beat match week when you know there's a league game or a cup game, but it has to be done. Owen and Rory have come in, set us up very well, very organised, we've a good plan in place for the next few weeks, so you have to enjoy it as well, enjoy that hard work, because that'll get you through the season as well. And it's just on us as players to be in the best nick, stay injury free, and take it week to week really.
And what's it like to be working under a new manager, having worked under Noel for so long?
Yeah, look, it's different, isn't it? But the lads are great. Owen's come in, he's great experience in the league. Rory, you know, has been a part of the club, so they get it. Obviously had a great stint under Noel, which is great. But look, the lads have come in, deservedly so. New ideas, really excited to get going under them. As I said, you know, it's only the start of it, really, but highly motivated group with them. We want to do well for them, they want to do well for us, so you know, that's a great start. And look, we're all just buzzing to get the season going. We've put a good squad together, we've kept a good core, brought in some signings, and you know, some of the girls coming up from the academy, some very good youngsters coming in, so they've some squad, they'll have some headaches I'm sure, but that's a good complaint, that's what they'll want to have. And we're all really excited to get going.
When there's such an amount of change, do you reflect back on the previous season and try and learn from it, or is there any point when you've got new management, new players and an awful lot of change from that season?
I think you always have to learn from it. Even when we've won things, you know, you'll always kind of look back for a while, or you know, last year people would speak about, you know, we didn't win a trophy but we were runners up in the league, the cup, very close, but that's football, sometimes it goes that way. So I think you have to learn from those games and take it with you, but not take it with you for too long. Like when Sligo comes, you know, it's a new season, it's a fresh start, last season's gone and you're fully focused and on Sligo and you don't look beyond that.
Are you very much in a leadership role within the group given your experience?
Yeah, there's a few of us, but I'd always say everybody can lead, you know, we'll all listen to the lads and what they want to try and take as much as their information, their new ideas in, but there's a good core group of a leadership group there. There's some players that are in their prime, and some of the youngsters coming up. But look, everyone can lead in different ways, the way they play, the way they train. So we've a good group there that, you know, we can all lead from each other, I think.
And do you talk about goals and ambitions for the season at this stage, or do you just look and say, Sligo Rovers is first, let's do what we need to do against them, and then we look at the next, and then we look at the next, and then we look at the next, and so forth?
I think, once you're at Shells, you want to compete for everything. That doesn't change. That won't change for Rory and for Owen and Rory. They'll want to compete for everything, but right now it's just a focus on pre-season, making sure that we're working hard, we're taking in the new information, because there's a lot of new information, they've new ideas, and it's a process, and that'll happen over the next few weeks. But once it comes to March 9th, we don't look beyond Sligo. It's all about getting 3 points on the first weekend.
What about yourself? On the field, are you evolving and adapting, or are you kind of the same player you always have been, if that makes sense.
I think it's a bit of both. You're always learning. Like, the lads are coming in with new ideas. I'm learning those new ideas as well. I'm no different to, I'd be one of the oldest players to one of the youngest players. We're all, you know, you never know everything, and you always have to constantly learn as a player. And we have a good group like that. They're sponges. We'll always listen. We'll want to learn and do well in the new ways we want to play. So,
And just the club overall, and it's a really good thing in League of Ireland that it is now one big club as opposed to separate entities under the same name but not really the same thing. There seems to be a good vibe, a good buzz. Would I be correct in saying that? And does that have kind of a knock-on effect in your season preparation and what's going on within your kind of squad and team?
Ah, yeah, definitely. I think the last 2 or 3 years, you know, everyone's seen how the club has been building, and I think it's a great time to be at the club. You know, our fans are really excited for the men's season, which is starting next week or the week after, and then we'll come along. But see, you know, the attendance at Talca Park, we get great attendances. It's a really exciting time. Now the lads into Europe, Duff are still there. Owen and Rory coming in for us. It's a fresh start, a new beginning. Some really exciting new signings, a lot of good youngsters. So I think it's a very exciting time. And look, once we play for this club, we always look forward to the start of a new season. We just want to give everything for the club and the fans.
And it used to be the case that maybe the Women's League was played off Broadway, whereas now you've got TG Cahir coverage, so you're very much on Broadway, you're on terrestrial television. The audiences for those games is huge. Every game is on LOI TV. Does that have a kind of a material effect on players that they know, well, this is big time, people are watching? Is that like a really big positive for players?
Yeah, I think so. You want to prepare well. You want to, you know, represent the league well as well. If you're live on TG Cahir, you want to give a spectacle. Or LOI TV, people can watch them anywhere. And I think the league and the standards has grown every year. You can see now what clubs are, you know, the resources they're putting into it, they're backing it, you know, the media support. As you said, probably a few years ago, the final was probably the only live game, and now we're having 10 plus games which are live on national TV, which is massive. But yeah, you do. I think, you know, that raises everybody's standards, really, doesn't it? Because you want to represent your club and yourself well, so it's only a good thing.
Pearl, the very best of luck for the season ahead.
Thanks, Emil.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and we're at the launch of the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland season, and I'm with Conor McCormack of Galway United, who are in the top flight, the Premier Division. Conor, how does that feel to hear that being said out loud?
Yeah, look, it's brilliant. We had a fantastic season last year, and it's been coming. The club like Galway, the size of it, should be in the Premier Division, so we're only delighted to get there. And look, we're under no illusions that it's going to be really, really tough next year, and look, we're looking forward to it.
The team sticking together, the manager sticking with the team, the owner sticking with the manager, the fans sticking with all of you, when it could have easily fallen apart after last season and the way that ended, does that make it even sweeter, the fact that you've achieved it after kind of going through tough times and a potentially fatal blow, but you recovered from it and have done what you've needed to do?
Yeah, look, obviously when John came to the club, there was a couple of issues there, and you know, and John brings that professionalism to it, and that's why I joined. I knew John was going to get this club back to the Premier Division, and look, it took us a year or two to get there, and but the club's only grown. It's getting better. You can see that even in the structure and the underage, the women's side of it, the whole club, the whole city's behind us. You know, the fans are with us, and look, it's only a great place to play football right now. And John added the experience of bringing Ollie in last year, and like it paid dividends. You know, so. There's a great balance there, and the club's only going from strength to strength, and it's a wonderful place to play football now at the minute, so I'm enjoying every minute of it.
And that says an awful lot about John Caulfield, that he wasn't afraid to bring in another voice, a strong voice. As they say, A-grade people hire A-grade people, B-grade people hire C-grade people. It just goes to show that John Caulfield is A-grade.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a no-brainer. They're probably the two most experienced managers in like the League of Ireland, and they've been around for so long. So they've seen bad days, they've seen good days. They know how to win. They know how to survive. They know how to build a club. They know everything about the League of Ireland inside out. And it's great, you know, for our young players and players that haven't played in the League of Ireland, that to have the two of the best, like, experienced lads there to learn from straight away, you know. And so there's no real bedding time for them, you know, so they're able to get that straight away. And because John was able to bring in experienced players like myself, and you know, and we're able to help the younger lads that haven't played in the Premier Division or played in Ireland, for example. So it is brilliant, and as I said there, it's a great place to play football at the minute.
Do you see Galway needing to change their approach in games? Because you know it yourself, across world football, a team that goes up can't necessarily play the way that got them up when they're up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, as I said there earlier, we're under no illusions. I know we had this. We worked really hard last year. We worked really hard in the training pitch to, I think at home there, we won most of our matches, if not all of them. We made that a fortress. We showed that in the FAI Cup as well, when the Premier Division teams come down and they thought they were going to get it handy. We're going to go into every game, like always, trying to win. And that's what John sets in his teams. We're not out there to defend for 90 minutes or, you know, catch someone on the break or whatever. No, that's not the way John plays football, and everyone know that. It's going to be tough. It definitely is. We know that there's going to be teams at the top of the division that are going to be challenging. There's going to be teams challenging for Europe. There's going to be teams trying to survive. And we know one team's going to have to go down, and there's one going to be a playoff. But we just have to concentrate on ourselves, and which we will do. And we'll go into every game believing that we can get a good, positive result. And sure, at the end of the season, hopefully it'll be a good one.
You mentioned there that teams came down in the cup and thought they'd get it handy. And I got a sense of kind of a chip on the shoulder, which I think athletes need sometimes. Is it a Western thing to have that kind of chip? Everyone's against us, so we have to do this ourselves. Look what Connacht did to survive and then thrive. Look at what, you know, Galway footballers have done in the past. Mayo, people keep kind of writing them off. I appreciate we're branching off into a different county there. But is that a Western thing? Do you have to have that kind of chip on the shoulder for this season, at least anyway, before you hope to become an established team?
Yeah, well, look, you do have to, maybe it is a Western thing, but we also had that down in Cork when I played with, under John Caulfield's teams down there as well.
So it's a John Caulfield thing. He's originally from the West.
He is from the West, and he brings that environment, you know. It's a good environment to be in, you know, and people have wrote his teams off before, and he's come back and he's proved them all wrong, you know. And he's a fantastic manager for me. He's the best in the league. I love playing under him, and he does have that sense of, you know, everyone's against us, and he it makes everyone believe, and he's shown that, and he shows that it works, and so everyone gets a positive impact from that. And luckily we were able to win most of our matches last year, and as you said there, the teams that come down, I thought that they were going to progress, and we were able to beat them, so that was fantastic for us, so we were only delighted.
I was at one of the matches that you referred to there, the dog game in the cup. And I looked around the ground that night and I thought, this place is unbelievable atmosphere-wise. And I'd been there the season before for one or two of the Cork City games. That crowd is going to be such an important factor for you, isn't it? In maybe getting you over the line, keeping you energised, and you feeding off them and them feeding off you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're going to need every bit of help that we can get this year. We know it's going to be absolutely tough. Every game, there'll be no easy points. We know that we're going to have to play to our very best to get good positive results every week. But Galway is a great place for sport in general. To see the GAA there, the rugby, the women's football, they love their sport, and they love to come out and support all the local teams. So it's a great city to live in, to play in. There's plenty of fantastic people behind the scenes that do so much tremendous work to get Galway back to where it is. So we play for them every week, and as I said there, it's just a fantastic place to play football at the minute. So all the lads are delighted to be part or on board with us.
I think it was Tommy Tiernan who said that Galway is the place where ambition goes to die. That seems to be the opposite to you, but you can see what he means, the kind of bohemian place that it is. Is it a good place to live? Is it a good place to be? Is it somewhere that you, even though you're not from there, you're from Greenore, isn't it?
Yeah,
Greenore in County Louth, which is a beautiful part of the world, but Louth generally is beautiful. But is Galway somewhere that you've really settled, and is that helping you to produce some of the best football we've seen of your career?
Yeah, look, it is. And everyone that comes to play for Galway lives in Galway, you know, as well. And so not many people go home too often. You have Salthill there on your doorstep as well. And the city's always thriving. There's always something going on. There's always sporting events on. There's always a good vibe about the place. And my family love coming over for the weekends, for the games. And you know, as I said there, I've settled down really well, and I'm loving it at the minute.
it wasn't for the traffic and the rain.
Look, you're going to get that everywhere, but on a nice day, there's no better place to be in Ireland. So, no, it's a lovely place.
Conor McCormack of Galway United, finishing off the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, a season preview special. So there was no actual voice notes because I didn't need to do any voice notes. I just went to the League of Ireland launch at Vicar Street. A great event. Fair play to the league for hosting it. There were so many people there, you couldn't possibly catch up with everyone. But don't worry, if we didn't get to your club in this, the lads did in the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland season preview podcast. Luke Jordan, Tom O'Connor and McDara Ferris talking in depth about the season ahead and all of the various issues around the league. Check it out now from wherever you get your podcasts or through extratime.com. I can't wait until it gets going again. As I speak to you, it's Friday afternoon and in a couple of hours time, the President's Cup will kick off in Tala between Shamrock Rovers and St. Pat's. Speaking of St. Pat's, I'm back on board with them for LOI TV this season, so I'm really looking forward to it. But I'll get around to many of the grounds, hopefully all of the grounds, bringing you the League of Ireland voice notes podcasts, and we'll bring you reaction and analysis from all of the games. Remember, you can get in contact with me via X, that's at Oisín Langan, and of course you can find Extra Time through all the usual social media channels and the website extratime.com. That's it for me. Enjoy the season ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.